were to the predictable, it's not different than the WFAN thing, which is if you just ask anybody in Cleveland on any given day, who do you think it's going to be?
Yeah.
From any conversation I've had with the media, when I say the media, I'm talking about anybody I know within the Cleveland media, it sure seems like whatever name they've heard last.
Yeah, no, that's true. We do have a little bit of news from Tom Pelissero I think you might be interested in. The Ravens have requested an interview with Browns defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz for their head coaching job. So we kind of wondered, like, nobody is asking Schwartz for any sort of interviews, any sort of jobs, and now here he is, Baltimore.
All right, can I give you my read on that?
Yeah, I'd love it, yes.
I don't think he's going to be a serious candidate for head coach there. Sometimes teams bring guys in for interviews like Todd Monken. I don't think Todd Monken's a real candidate for the Browns head coach job.
They just want intel?
No, I think it's to be the OC. I think he could very, very likely be the next OC here. So I think the Ravens, reading off the Albert Breer report, which was earlier this weekend, that the Browns aren't going to force Schwartz or Reese on the new head coach. I could see the Ravens looking at what's happened to the defense over the last 3 years and go,
yeah.
We want some of that here, because what was one of the biggest knocks on whether it was or the defensive coordinator, John Harbaugh, they hadn't really developed anybody on defense. I mean, was it Ross that talked to us about Owe, Adafe Owe, who then went out to San Diego, yeah. Went out to the Chargers and became basically an elite edge rusher, pass rusher, after mm-hmm. having zero sacks in Baltimore.
Well, look at all the guys in that D-line that they ended up, first off, they paid a lot of those guys too, and then it ended up just really not working out the way that they wanted it to last 2 years. But all right, so that's interesting. Schwartz getting some love, though, even if it's for some intel for defensive coordinator jobs, which also would, by the way, tell you that the league is starting to think, or at least come to the conclusion, that Jim Schwartz will not be a part of the Browns.
All right. Or at least knows that there's a chance. Because remember, this is important. Schwartz is under contract with the Browns.
Yeah, and they don't have to, by the way, they didn't have to approve any of this.
Yes. So,
and this is just a request from Baltimore. They have not approved it yet.
So these are all things to kind of pay attention to. Guys, don't sleep on the fact Stefanski's already interviewed there, and that this could be part of their pitch to Stefanski. Hey, Kevin, here's your defensive head coach.
We use diabolical a lot. That is diabolical thinking, though.
Well, I mean,
I do like it. It's a good thing. Well, it's a smart thought. If I was Baltimore, I'd be going down that road.
Well, I mean, because I think if we just play this out and kind of they're like, look at what the Browns defense was with Stefanski before he got Jim Schwartz.
I would think it'd be Stefanski's number one choice in general anyway.
You could take just about
anybody. That's who we'd want.
But now let's be real here. You can't control whether Kevin Stefanski is going to the Ravens or not. You can damn sure control whether Jim Schwartz will.
Well, and so this is where
if you let this
happen,
this whole nice guy stuff, get it out of your lexicon if this is how you're thinking.
But if you let this happen, if you say, no, sorry, Jim, you can't go ahead and do this, and then you turn around and you hire a coach that wants nothing to do with Jim Schwartz as his defensive coordinator, and then Jim Schwartz is out looking for jobs, that's a tough look.
But
business is tough sometimes. They don't do this. They always tend to do, or at least they try to do, the right thing. Maybe this is where they get a little tough with people.
I really struggle with the head coach that wouldn't want Jim Schwartz here.
Well, it's a defensive coach. If you go with a defensive-minded coach.
Even that.
I think it's going
to
be tough.
Your job is to not be the defensive coordinator here. Your job's to be the head coach.
I know, but Jesse Minner, for instance, is going to have his whole defensive philosophies that he wants to implant and input. Brian Flores is completely different than what Jim Schwartz even runs to begin with anyway.
I would say to both those guys, don't you want to win?
Well, that's what I would think, too. But
if we remember when Mike Tomlin took over in Pittsburgh, this is a guy who had run the Tampa 2 his entire career. He had been that in Tampa, and obviously it started to try and run that in Minnesota, and the Steelers basically said to him, Dick LeBeau is your defensive coordinator and Keith Butler is going to be your defensive coordinator after that. Mike Tomlin's been coaching in the 3-4 since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's not to say that won't happen, by the way, because I think you're right on.
No, I don't know. We don't
those
know.
Guys are going to want that, but this is where
usually it's how it works.
This is where an organization would go, hey, just so you know, that thing that's working really well, where we're seeing a lot of success, we're not going to change that just because you're the head coach.
But meanwhile, again, we got that report from Albert that basically is hinting at the idea that Jim Schwartz and Tommy Reese aren't going to be deal breakers in any of these decisions when it comes to what the head coach wants.
Doesn't it just kind of annoy you that those two names are getting the same billing?
It does a little bit, yes. Yes, it does.
I think Tommy is a really interesting coach, and I do think that time will be very kind to his NFL career. If he wants to be the head coach of USC in 3 years, I think he can be it. If he wants to be head coach of an NFL team in 3 years, if he goes to the right teams, I think he's going to have a chance to do it. I do think he has all the right people in his corner. right? And he's got experience in all kind of situations, whether it's throwback football as a player, whether it's analytics. He's got a wealth of experience. To me, Jim Schwartz is like, I can't say that I would force him on a head coach. Cannot do that. But I'm just this side of forcing him on a head coach. He's as close to I'm going to make you hire him as possible without actually being that.
That's why I just lean towards the idea that they're going to end up going with an offensive mind. If it's not McDaniel, I like the idea that like Dan Pitcher just keeps getting more and more steam with each passing day. Not because it's something I can endorse. I don't know anything about him. None of us do. But the idea that it would fit something that they clearly want to go towards. You keep Schwartz intact, and then you get this guy that you think is the next McVay, and you slide him in.
My problem with Dan Pitcher is, if they hire
He's
Dan Pitcher the whole time, I'm going to say, so was Dan Pitcher the whole time. Because he and Andrew...
Because he was out of the gate?
Well, no, because
him... the Colts connection?
Well, yeah, the Colts connection. Andrew's known him for a decade. Andrew is clearly maybe on his last leg as an NFL GM in this iteration, and I'm going to go to the trust tree with the nest.
Dan Pitcher and those type of guys, you talk about boom or bust, that is a boom or bust selection. That is, if it works out, great. You want to be the guy that hires Sean McVay before he's Sean McVay. That's a massive, you get to keep your job for a very long time. And if it doesn't work out, well... then obviously you won't have a job, which you might not have anyway after a year.
So we never really got to this. We threw it out there, but we never answered it for ourselves.
Yeah.
Do you think, as this is Mike McDaniel Day, do you think Mike McDaniel is a downgrade from Kevin Stefanski?
No, I don't understand the people that think it is. I don't even understand the people. I think it's lateral. I think it's you're on the same plane. Let's put it that way. I think it is a they're not the same person, but they have, as far as qualifications are concerned, I think McDaniel's a better play caller than Stefanski is. I think McDaniel did more with a quarterback that people think is awful than Stefanski could ever dream of. And here I am talking into the idea that I think McDaniel's a better coach than Stefanski. But like I think so much higher of McDaniel than most people. But I don't think most people think it is. But I definitely do.
Yeah, I think Chris Greer made a lot of.
He was an
roster
idiot.
Choices. I don't think he was an idiot, but I think he made a lot of roster decisions that were just as...
I just wanted to be mean.
Just as baffling as what Andrew Berry's done, and yet Mike McDaniel's floor in Miami was 7 wins. Like I don't think Tua, the more he got injured, the more concussions he had, there were diminishing returns there, and I do think that was a compromised roster. So if I already think McDaniel is a better play caller and a better developer of offensive talent, and that he never allowed the pieces around him to stunt his growth as a play caller, well, I think that's pretty telling compared to Kevin. And I really do think the difference here is, I think the reason why people view Stefanski here and McDaniel here is because they're buying into the league-wide perception. I think the league-wide, listen, I think the real difference between Stefanski and McDaniel is I think Kevin is really incredible at playing the media game. He understands how to cultivate a relationship with those people, and he puts a lot of time into it. Whereas, and I'm not talking about in Cleveland, I'm talking about on a national level, the people that help you get jobs are guys like Albert. They are guys like Charles Robinson. They are guys like Rappaport and Schefter, right?
Right.
I think Kevin knows how to play that game and wants to. I don't think Mike McDaniel has ever given a rip about playing that game.
Yeah, he beats to his own drum, and it shows.
But I think that's it. What we're really dealing with is a perceptional issue where I think the better football coach is Mike McDaniel.
Well, and there's a reason why a lot of people don't like him, and it's because of that, the idea that he's not very coach-like, for lack of a better term. Like he doesn't do things the way that most coaches do. He wears expensive watches, he has capris, he vapes, he does all these different type of things, and you think that's somebody that should be like a run game coordinator, not somebody that should be a head coach. And I think it turns a lot of football people off.
Also, a little bit here from Jordan Schultz. The Browns have requested to interview Jaguars OC Grant Yudinski for their head coaching job. He's 30 years old today. He's worked with Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence this season and with Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold last year. This guy has very little experience as a coordinator, but he is one of the names that, again, the media masses is anointed as boy child of the future.
You're right, man. His name popped up so many times over the weekend. It felt like it just kept coming up over and over. 30 years old is insane to be a head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, this franchise, if anybody's going to give it a chance to a young guy, it is somebody like Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry, when he was named the GM, is the youngest GM in NFL history at 34 years old. Like, people that get jobs at a young age that they shouldn't have or what doesn't typically get are always the ones most likely to then give them out in other positions.
So can I just struggle with, and it's whether it's Dan Pitcher or Grant Udinski, like, I know, you like, look at Mike McDaniel, and there are warts there. Right, it wasn't perfect in Miami. Things did fall apart with Tua. They went from winning, being in the playoffs the first 2 years to being, what was it, 8 wins 2 years ago, 7 wins this year. Understand all these things, and they're all fair. And he did so with Hill and Waddle and Achane and, you know, all this talent, right? There are a lot of big names in the defense, too, even though the defense was mostly booty cheeks. But say what you want, you do know good from bad, what these guys have done, the way that, like, these long-form pieces that are written about, like, I read this long-form piece about Grant Udinski, and it's like, he's a communicator, and he's this, and he played with people's kids, and he did this, yeah, and it's like, none of this actually matters to whether I think he can be a good head coach or not, because these are not things, like, until you slide that ass 18 inches over the old Hugh Jacksonism, you don't know. You know, and I just think there's an element of phoniness to why these guys get built up. And the same thing with Dan Pitcher. Like, I have no doubt the guy is smart. I have no doubt the guy on some level knows football and knows people who know football, which is another big thing. I don't know if that necessarily makes him ready for this job.
Can you look up Grant Udinski? I'm very confused by him. He kind of has like a Miles Teller type look to him, but then there's also other ones where it looks like he's got a very punchable face, and I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was kind of thinking like the fifth generation of Kennedys.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah, he looks like
RFK definite, Jr.
Definite trust fund money. That's not even a question. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the hair gel tells that whole story.
See, it's interesting. He's kind of also got a little bit of Spencer German to him, which I like. Got a little bit of that Germinator to him.
Oh, very clean shaven.
Yeah, well, I was just talking about the hair, the coif. Spencer occasionally will coif his hair in such a way.
It looks nice when Spencer does it.
In the one picture, it's kind of like a pompadour. It's almost got like a pompadour kind of thing. And it's like, is this Elvis or is this guy going to be the head coach of the Browns?
It fits with the pompous attitude that he's given off here.
Then another one, he kind of just looks like Brian Scalabrini's little brother.
I can't imagine 30 years old being a head coach. Maybe it's because I think about what I was at 30 years old, and I'd be like, no one would do that.
216-474.
No, that's a bad idea.
0092. Jim in Strongsville, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Doing all right. What you got for us?
You're getting better on Photoshop.
I'm trying. I'm working hard.
I can tell that. I see that. I see that. You're getting better with each day.
Are you sure it's Photoshop or is it ChatGPT, Jim? Be honest.
It is not ChatGPT. It is a program. It is time consuming, but I've become pretty proficient at it. You know,
well, I'm proud of you on this front.
I can see the progress day by day. I see the progress.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, listen, I just want to say this. I like Jim Schwartz. I think he's done a good job with the defense. At the end of the day, though, if we love him so much and he's done such a great job, then hire him as your head coach. I'm not saddling any new head coach with Jim Schwartz. We haven't won anything since Schwartz has been here, so I get it, man. I think the defense was really good, but I also think that there's a lot of defenses that could be really good. We have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. He's done a good job with that talent, but I just am not buying into this. Look, I don't want to saddle up the new coach with anything. I just don't feel like that's a good way to move forward. I get what you're saying about the Steelers, Nick, but let's face it, the Steelers had a lot more success than we've had when they hired Mike Tomlin. So I'm not necessarily going to say, like, you know, they ran that defense forever, had the steel curtain. They had, you know, one for the thumb, that stupid phrase. So I just can't look at that and say, well, we're the Browns. So, you know, we won, nothing. So, yeah, we want to keep Jim Schwartz because that's so ingrained in our culture here. It just doesn't make sense. That's all I had, boys. I'll send you some Photoshops later.
Buddy, appreciate you. A couple things here. Hasn't won anything. That's not on the defense. They've lost in spite of the defense. So I think it's a little unfair to say they haven't won anything. They also did go to the playoffs his first year. Did the Ravens saddle John Harbaugh with Rex Ryan the first couple of years that Rex was that John was a head coach in Baltimore? The two most successful teams in this division have done this to their last head coaches who have lasted 18 years or longer. The Ravens did it with Dick LeBeau. Sorry, the Ravens did it with Rex Ryan and John Harbaugh, and then the Steelers did it with Dick LeBeau and then Keith Butler. So good organizations in your division have done this. And here's the other thing. The reason why Schwartz matters is you've got a lot of things that are scheme-specific. On the defensive side of the ball, you've got a lot of guys who are specific to the wide nine scheme. Mm-hmm. And why that matters is last year they were a sub-elite defense. They lost it towards the end of the year at parts. But again, they had a lot of moments where they looked like one of the five best defenses in the NFL. The whole point of being able to succeed next year, year one in this new coach, is that you don't take a step back defensively, but you take a step forward offensively. If you've got wide nine scheme-specific guys here and you switch to a 3-4 or a 3-3-5 like Flores, that defense is going to take a step back.
Which is why a lot of people have instantly removed Flores from their board on this. And that's why I, in this entire stretch, I'm very pro-offensive-minded coach, someone that's going to be smart enough to be like, oh yeah, Jim Schwartz, we need him here.
You know, McDaniel comes up. Mary Kay tweeted out yesterday, you know, Mike McDaniel will interview with the Browns tomorrow for their head coaching position. And chaos on social media ensued. The Udinski stuff, or the, I almost said Greg Williams, the Jim Schwartz stuff. Like, listen, I think it's highly possible that Baltimore is looking at Jim Schwartz and saying, well, I want to get to know him so that if Kevin Stefanski's our guy, Jim Schwartz can come be our defensive coordinator. That is not something I really want to think about because, well, I don't really want to give the Ravens two of the best weapons that the Browns have had in the AFC North over the last 6 years. At the same point, it's still incredibly early. Harbaugh is the biggest pendulum that has to swing. I don't know that the Ravens right now are as good of a job as everybody says they are, because I think that roster actually is in a bad spot. It's just you have Lamar. I really do think maybe the Raiders have a real chance because of Fernando Mendoza. Like, I just, there's a big-winded, big-picture way of saying, let's not panic about the Browns head coaching search. They're doing what I think they should do in this situation, which is run a pretty comprehensive search, and that's okay.
Well, yeah, and honestly, it just feels like everyone's just at a standstill until Harbaugh decides what he wants to do, and that's how this should go. If you are in the running and the Browns are in the running, you should just sit back and wait a little bit, see what happens with Harbaugh, and then go from there.
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, let's see what the Browns do. Like, let's not, like, the McDaniel thing. If you don't like the McDaniel thing, I'm not going to sell you on it. I think he's a better version of what Stefanski's supposed to be. I just think Stefanski's better at playing the media game than Mike is. But we'll see. I don't know where. I tend to think the best thing that could happen is Harbaugh goes to Atlanta, because that means Stefanski would go to New York. But we'll, I mean, guys, Philadelphia could fire Nick Sirianni today. I know what the wording is. I still think there's a chance that Green Bay just doesn't want to pay Matt LaFleur what Matt LaFleur wants. And that leads to a trade of some level.
Oh, really? You think this is all just games?
Yeah, I think there's a huge difference between Matt LaFleur is going to stay in Green Bay. They will get a contract done. And, hey, they're going to work on this and we'll see where it goes. Which is essentially the vibe I've gotten about the Matt LaFleur stuff.
I mean, they put it as like the Packers are now expected to try to work out a deal, as if they were pretty sincere on that. But I guess anything could change. I would say on the Sirianni point, Sirianni shouldn't upset the coaching market if he does in fact appear.
He would instantly become the number one guy.
I really don't think he would. Is it
because he's dumb?
Yes, I think he's perceived.
But I don't think he's dumb.
I think he's perceived to be a dodo. I think there's a lot that comes with him. And I do think a lot of people believe the heavy lifting on this Eagles team is because of Howie Roseman, one, and then the players. Not really anything that Sirianni has done.
I think that's wildly unfair. He's been more successful in this run than Doug Peterson was similar situation. And the thing that Nick Sirianni
is, I think his win percentage is like fourth all time or something in NFL history. It's insane.
And here's the difference with Nick Sirianni. He is a red ass. Like, he is, like, people, oh, I want a leader of men. Guys, Nick Sirianni screamed at A.J. Brown because he didn't get off the field fast enough yesterday.
I know, but it's now, we got too many people at this point. It's Jalen Hurts that always is a certain way about him. It's A.J. Brown. It's all these Big Dom wearing headsets now on the sidelines. Don't know where that came from. Like,
but think about
it. There's a lot that comes with Nick Sirianni.
Well, no, there's a lot that comes with the Eagles.
But I think his perception is not... If he would not instantly be at the top of the board.
Yeah, but I think that's wrong.
I'd be fascinated to find out where he fits.
Think about the stuff that he's overcome. The perception that Jalen Hurts isn't a top five quarterback, which might be fair. The A.J. Brown melodrama, the offensive melodrama, the offensive line this year was just Swiss cheese. all, I mean, Hassan Reddick, think about all the personalities, Jalen Carter, think about all the personalities that he's won in spite of, which is something Kevin was not able to do here. There were years where just the personalities toppled over.
You can have absolute chaos around him and things can still exist in a winning way. I mean, that's one of the things about last year. When people, they talk about culture within organizations and how important it is, I will always point to the 2025 Eagles. They won the Super Bowl and they were dysfunctional as dysfunctional gets. I mean, they made, if you think your family's insane, they made anyone that they think their family's insane look like a bunch of toddlers out there. Like, they were always arguing with each other, fighting in the media. They had that Jalen Hurts piece where he's like, after 4 years, we're just trying to figure out if we like each other. Like, there's always been dysfunction there, and they still end up winning.
And I think he's succeeded in spite of the dysfunction instead of causing the dysfunction. But we'll see. I will tell you, though, this young Philly fan, and this was captured on 6-8, ABC in Philadelphia. He has some changes he'd like to see coming to the Philadelphia Eagles.
This was a huge letdown. This was my Christmas present, and I got a loss.
I would have rather had Cole, huh?
Yeah, probably. I'm feeling two of two things. A, I want A.J. Brown packing his bags, and I want him somewhere else that is not here. I love you, A.J., but, like, you can't make those drops in that game. And I also want Kevin Petullo flipping burgers at, like, the local McDonald's or something. I don't care.
Why do you say that?
Whenever he's an offensive coordinator, it's like he's flipping burgers. One side, he's cooking. One half, he's cooking. And the other half is completely raw.
All right. I want this little bastard on the show.
Well, get him on WIP. What are you talking about?
No. Bleep that station. They've got enough. I want him as our Philly correspondent.
I'm like the afternoon show. Like a legit slot. I want him on our afternoon show.
We need some heat. Basket and Phelps, they skew a little older. Let's bring a 13-year-old to even it out.
Now we get the demographics on our side now.
Yeah.
13-year-olds. Here we go.
Well, Jeff and Andy, you have to tell them, guys, put down the food and do a segment. With this kid, you have to be like, put down the TikTok and do a segment.
Yeah. I love the idea of us like skirting labor rule laws and everything like that. Labor laws to bring a 13-year-old in.
Labor?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's like all of a sudden all of Hollywood comes over and they're like, so here's how you get around it.
Yeah.
We'll find ways. We got Lindsay Lohan on like 12 different movies as a child. We can make this happen for you.
One day, we'll get interns back. It's never, never. It's never
going to happen. No, it doesn't work anymore.
But that's great. Those were the golden days. Are the Eagles broke?
I think so. They have to make a lot of changes. They definitely have to make a lot of changes. That game shouldn't have gone that way, Nick, in any sort of way. Nick Bosa's been out for like 3 months, and he's the third biggest sack leader on that team. They've been missing so many pieces. Kittle gets injured in the first quarter and goes out, and you think San Francisco is just going to lay down and die in this game. He's getting tequila served to him in the locker room as the game is moving on by ownership because he's that just banged up and trying to do anything he can. And they found a way to go ahead The 49ers shouldn't have won that game.
I think
there's no other way to look at it. They shouldn't have won that game.
You're right. I think this is the cycle of the Eagles. And I don't think it's just the cycle under the Eagles under Sirianni. I think it's the cycle of the Eagles. After they go to a Super Bowl, they fall apart for a year. Now, this case, your falling apart was topping out in the wild card round. I think the last time they quote-unquote fell apart, I think they were in like the divisional round. But remember, they lost Shane Steichen and John Gannon to head coaching jobs. They come back the very next year. Neither of those, I think it was Sean Desai, and I can't remember who the offensive coordinator is. They failed. They were fired. I think Vic Fangio was running that defense by the playoffs after being fired in Miami. And now all of a sudden, all right, you're back. You win a Super Bowl. You lose your offensive coordinator to a head coaching role. And you hired the wrong guy. You hired a buddy of Nick Sirianni instead of hiring the best potential offensive coordinator out there after Kellen Moore goes to New Orleans. I think this is simple. You fire the OC and you probably get rid of at least one of A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, and Devontae Smith. And then you just do what they do, which is reload. Like I don't want to guarantee. I don't think the Eagles are broke in the way of like next year they won't be in the NFC title again, the title game again. I think it is. You got to break a couple legs. You got to get a couple bad fits out of there.
The offense just fell apart relative to what it had been in the past couple years.
Yeah, but I think that's fixable with the right. I think what we're learning is with Jalen Hurts.
They dropped from top seven in the previous 3 years to 19th scoring offense this year.
I think with Jalen Hurts, you have to have the right OC. But don't forget, that offensive line finally fell apart as well.
Lane Johnson injury yesterday before the game was critical.
Landon Dickerson's been hurt. Like, On some level, this team is built and, in the trenches, and it took half the year for their defensive line to show up, and it took another half of the year to rid themselves of, you know, 40% of the starting offensive line.
Well, and Saquon looked a lot better yesterday than he had looked, but Saquon...
He had the boost back.
He just... Well, yeah, but for, I mean, a large portion of the season, he didn't have any games over 70 yards rushing. Like, he just... His burst had been completely taken away from him.
Yeah.
That's like Micah Parsons on his... on like a Twitch stream was bragging about keeping him under 75, and it was like, he doesn't go over 75 against anybody.
216.
It's just a different Saquon this year.
216-474-0092 are the Eagles broke. If you guys watched that game yesterday... I think it's yes. I think the answer for everybody is going to be yes, but it's how do you fix the Eagles? We, of course, are talking about Grant Yudinski, another candidate for the Browns OC job, Mike McDaniel, and whether he's a downgrade from Kevin Stefanski. Let's go with Sean in Kent. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Yeah, I think it's baloney to think that Jim Schwartz would ever coach the Ravens or that they would ever want him to after Harbaugh. I just think that's them, the Ravens trying to, you know, make the Browns think, oh, they better hire him because someone else is going to take him. I just don't think the Ravens want the Browns to hire Harbaugh.
So run that by me one more time, buddy.
He said you don't think the Ravens want to hire Harbaugh.
The Ravens really are serious about hiring Jim Schwartz as a head coach. I think they're just interviewing him to psych the Browns out. To, you know, to maybe make them think that they better hire Schwartz as their head coach so they don't hire Harbaugh. So the Browns don't hire Harbaugh.
Oh, that game's not
gamesmanship.
That game's not going to work ever, though. Like, if you have ideas of Harbaugh, you're not going to let an interview with Jim Schwartz throw you off the scent.
Yeah, but why would the Ravens even interview Schwartz?
I think Nick had the right idea on this. I think it's about if they really love Stefanski, you bring Jim Schwartz in, you get the feel about whether or not Schwartz would be able to go ahead and go to Baltimore, and you could pair up Stefanski with Schwartz and basically do what we've been doing for years now.
He's under contract. They can't go lateral, can they?
So if they hired him as the defensive coordinator and assistant head coach, I believe you would be able to do that.
Right.
Because right now he's just a defensive coordinator.
Level, jump up. Okay, I see that. All right. Yeah, I don't buy it, but yeah, I see the point.
Sean, okay, we appreciate you, buddy.
All right, thanks, man.
That actually just the fact that I even said that out loud, because initially I was like, he's in a contract for 2026, you're in the catbird seat, and then I remember the assistant head coach thing, and now I'm sad. I would be, listen, if Kevin goes to Baltimore, it doesn't really, there's no real skin off my back here. If Kevin goes to Baltimore with Jim Schwartz, am I going to have a feeling about Kevin? And it's, by the way, it's totally his prerogative.
This is what Stefanski should be doing.
You fire him, but bleep him.
If I was Stefanski, I would almost make it like one of the conditions. I'd be like, whoever gets me, you have to do this for Jim Schwartz. This is what I want. Life was on easy street with Stefanski with Jim Schwartz in many ways.
No, 100%.
He never had to worry about the defensive side of the ball at all. He could solely focus on the offense. I actually wonder what the hell he was even doing in the past 2 years, because he wasn't really working on the offense.
But think about how the Ravens could have screwed you over double here is by firing Harbaugh. Harbaugh becomes the Giants' top guy. Then so that takes Stefanski off the board in New York and then pushes him down to Baltimore with Jim Schwartz. All of a sudden, that is like, listen.
All right, the Harbaugh sweepstakes have started, by the way. The Falcons have just tweeted out that they finished their interview with John Harbaugh for their head coach opening.
Mm.
So the sweepstakes have started.
Couldn't seal the deal, huh, Matt Ryan?
Atlanta got their interview today. Still to be determined yet when he's going to interview for the Browns, if he interviews for the Browns.
I mean, if he leaves the building, don't you think we just lost John Harbaugh?
I mean, they put it in past tense. We have interviewed as if he's gone. As if he, Elvis has left the building. John Harbaugh's left the building.
When the Giants
he's
do
gone.
This, all right, if the Giants put out, we've interviewed John Harbaugh, and there's no like, and he's now our head coach, I'll start to really lean into, all right, Jimmy's going to at least get into a room with him and have a chance.
I mean, he put the Falcons as like a warm-up interview, right? You don't want to be the first one.
I mean, he hasn't interviewed in 18 years.
It's like a practice interview.
Like, and Matt Ryan's not even new. Like, he's new to interviewing. Like, he's not going to be good at this.
It's like, if you study for, like, the ACTs or whatever, you get, like, the practice ACTs. This is what this was.
Arthur Blank has liked Arthur Smith and Raheem Morris and just cried when he had to fire him. So, you got a softie as an owner, too. Smart by Harbaugh. That's a good play. Get a Rube out front and just get real good and sharp for the next
one. Someone you're not really serious about, but you just get the feel for it.
Jim Schwartz has reportedly been requested to interview for the Baltimore head coaching job. Well, now, Adam Schefter just tweeting this out. It involves the Browns. While the Falcons announced an official interview with former Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, he had already has been conducting preliminary and extensive phone calls with the Giants, Titans, Browns, Raiders, and Cardinals, per sources. He's trying to determine who to meet with later this week and into next week before making a decision. He fully expects to be a head coach in 2026. So we got a preliminary call, baby.
And extensive phone calls. Okay, so preliminary and extensive.
What does extensive phone call mean to you?
Well, I thought preliminary could have been covered with an extensive, and vice versa, by the way. Extensive could have been covered in preliminary.
Oh, it's interesting. I think preliminary is like a good 10 minutes. All right, give me your elevator pitch. Extensive and preliminary do not match up to me.
Oh, I don't put a cap on preliminary, but maybe I should. But extensive phone calls can only mean one thing. All right, well, how long is an extensive phone call?
Well, because doesn't the extensive,
isn't that by person? Like for me, 20 minutes is an extensive phone call.
5 minutes is an extensive phone call for me.
But that's also what I would think would be a preliminary phone call.
Yes, okay, bang biscuit. We're in a complete agreement. For me, 5 minutes, that's preliminary and extensive.
I mean, the preliminary side of things should be like, hey, so, all right, you got this sorted out with your person. Here's where you're going to stay. Here's where we're going to eat. Hey, we're really excited to have you come in. But they don't actually talk turkey. Extensive, we're talking a little turkey.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's
what I want out of this. Can you deliver that before I even get on the plane? Like not everything. You get to keep some things.
Well, you
got to
keep some things behind the kimono for the big reveal.
That's right. They always got to keep them guessing. Yeah. There are some things you get to withhold, but just like in those type of scenarios, you want some assurances somewhere.
So what do you draw the line at extensive phone call versus the first interview if you're the Browns?
I hope it was extensive.
He just is the first. Now, again, who does he talk with? Does he talk with Jimmy or does he talk to Andrew?
It's a good question.
Because if he's going with Jimmy, the first question is, I got to keep this Andrew guy,
This makes it sound like it's a team thing, and so it makes it sound like it's all the parties that be. It would be Haslam involved. It would be Andrew Berry involved.
Kent Kovash.
No, at this point, it's just a two-man booth.
Okay.
Yeah. We're rocking two people.
Glenn Cook, Cat Hickman? They don't deserve they're not on this call?
That's a lot of people for a call preliminary
Now
mindset.
You see how it gets extensive.
Yeah, well, Glenn Cook just hogs the time the entire time. It's just classic Glenn Cook.
Let that man cook.
He's constantly just like, chatter. Loves the small talk.
If I was Glenn Cook, I'd just be like, hey, let Glenn cook.
That's it.
I'd go third person and the cook euphemism.
His Christmas presents would just be shirts that say, let Glenn cook, and it'd have a fire emoji or something. Very easy to take care of
in
the holidays.
With a picture of Guy Fieri on there for reasons nobody really knows.
No, it doesn't matter. Glenn cook likes
you. Do you want Glenn to cook or do you want Guy to cook? I don't really know.
Actually, part of the extensive process was Glenn Cook hogging the time and then Harbaugh having to insert his own let that man cook as someone tried to interrupt it. That was part of what made it extensive.
Are we more encouraged by this or less encouraged?
He's trying to determine who to meet with later this week and into next week before making a decision. So I think the other side of this is this is him getting the feel of whether or not it's worth his time to get on the plane, come to Berea, come to some of these other spots, or if this is just going to be unnecessary for him. And so there's clearly a list of check marks that you have to be able to have the green check mark for Harbaugh in order to come on the plane and be able to go through with at least preparing and then getting ready for the interview. Harbaugh interviewing you, you're not interviewing Harbaugh.
I just feel what's weird about that is, and by the way, this is a great power move for John Harbaugh.
For sure. He knows who holds the cards in this.
Think about this. If you guys are having internal conversations, you're like, what are we really willing to give Harbaugh? And you're in the middle of a conversation, then John Harbaugh calls you. That's a leader of men right there. That's just as a casual reminder here, Cleveland Browns, Tennessee Titans, Las Vegas Raiders, Arizona Cardinals, New York Giants, and another team I've already forgotten here, Atlanta Falcons, Miami Dolphins. You don't have the power. John has the power.
That's what this is.
This is some big coach energy if you're asking me.
Here's what I want to know. He gave you the preliminary and the extensive to begin with. If we don't end up getting an actual official interview in a day or two, how badly did they bungle this?
Oh, I don't think it's how badly they bungled it.
What could they not check off that John needed checked off is the better way to put that.
I mean, I think people are going to put it on the Andrew Berry thing. I know Harbaugh can get whoever he wants installed in most of these jobs. I don't think that's going to be the thing. I think it's going to come down to how quickly does Harbaugh think he can win. And listen, I think the Browns' job fares better than most people realize, because the offensive line and a number one wide receiver is a lot easier to find every offseason. The question is, does he think he can win with any of your quarterbacks?
I know, but there's clearly a question that he has that he's making everyone go through this like pre-interview process
with. But I don't
think
it's the same thing for each team, right?
Maybe, I don't know.
Like half these teams, are you really going to pay me $20-plus million a year? Because they got cheap-ass owners. I think it might be with Jimmy just, are you going to stay out of my way? Are you going to stay out of Andrew's way? That might be more...
Jimmy, you got to lie, buddy. you got to learn to lie.
Candidly, I've learned my lesson.
Candidly.
And, you know, I only did that to those other coaches. It's like guys when they're like, honest with a woman that they've cheated on previous girls, but it was like, yeah, that was because of them. I would never cheat on you. And it's like, are you sure about that? Because I think maybe you would. Sorry if any guys are listening with their wives right now and you're known cheaters. That's on me, dog.
Right, just lucky I didn't say what I was thinking about. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Like if you're sitting next to your guy and you cheated on in previous relationships, just wait.
Broke up like three marriages.
It's going to happen. That's how that works. Sorry. Right. Sorry, people
listening.
You know,
the light bulb just went off over
there's
head.
Somebody,
or
unfortunately.
It could have been over his head. We could be setting free a couple guys right
there
now.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, that's the you leave them how you found them mentality, right? Like if all of a sudden
a different thing.
Well, no. Like if you have an assistant and well, you know what? Never mind. Let's not go down this road.
No, I'd like to know now. I think everybody's kind of peaked here. And how this ties back to Jimmy Haslam.
Well, all right. So if you're married and then you cheat on your wife with the assistant, then the assistant can't all of a sudden think, oh, we're going to have a great marriage. This is going to be awesome. They all think that's the plan, the end game. Like, oh no, but he. Clearly, his wife was the problem. He really loves me. No. He cheated on his wife with you, the assistant. The next assistant he get is the same thing going to happen. You have to be prepared for that. That's how this. That's how life works.
That's why you got to get a fat guy as his assistant next, because he's not going
to
bone
that. That's how that works. Yeah. Like you just have to be prepared. Well, you can't be shocked if you're the assistant in that scenario that then when 15 years later he cheats on you with his new assistant, you can't be surprised.
He's hitting home for a lot of people.
They leave him how you found him.
A lot of people.
That's the life lesson
for
people
out there. Looking your way, buddy boy. 216-474-0092. The Browns, amongst several teams to have preliminary extensive phone calls, not Zooms, there's just so many ways to do this.
You don't want to be dressed, like, you know, you're dressed and
I bet you John Harbaugh has a hell of a landline. He's had the same number. He's had it ported in for like 20 years now since he was the DB coach at Cincinnati.
We don't want to make Glenn take off his Make Glenn Cook shirt to take off and then like put a real shirt on.
Glenn, he can see you.
Glenn, you're on Zoom.
Let Glenn Cook!
Everyone sees Guy Fieri. Take it off.
I thought I turned the camera off.
Okay, Tubin.